Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and Life Coach Wendy Dillard here. Today is Wednesday, January the 3rd, 2018, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, our second daily dose of happy. And Wendy, I don't know about you, but I've had a busy day because we just barely got this show started on time. It's been an interesting afternoon.
I just looked at the clock and thought, you are amazing that you could, like, run right in, get it set up, and boom, we're ready to go on time.
Oh, my goodness. Well, actually about 15 seconds late, but I'll go with that. That's okay. I can live with that.
That's not even late.
No. Well, you see what's happening is here in the Northeast, we're anticipating a big storm coming through tomorrow. And because of that, everybody has to go get, you know, supplies and all that kind of stuff. Plus, we had a couple extra errands to run. So we cut it a little fine, but we got back, and that's the main thing. We're all ready to be tucked in for the next 24 to 36 hours while we get white stuff all over the place. So, you know, that's the trade-off, right?
Yes, it's a nice trade-off.
It is. How about you?
I think there's a wonderful, magical feeling about hunkering down in your house and having it be really cold outside. And, you know, just, I don't know, it feels kind of special. I like it.
It is going to be a little dicey because what they're calling for is a deep plunge in temperature after the storm. So there is going to be a need for as much positive thought put out as we possibly can so that there is as little negative consequence, let's put it that way, that follows up. Okay, so we're going to think positively, and we're going to put out there that this is just going to be one of those little storms, no big deal, and everybody's going to come through just fine and dandy. How about that?
You got it. I'm with you on that.
All right, good. That sounds good. So how's your day been going? I mean, lately you've been really nose to the grindstone because of the nature of what you do. You've just been doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Has it slowed down for you at all?
I don't know if slowed down is the right word, but I would say I am personally managing it very well.
Well, that's good. That's very good. That's an accomplishment all by itself.
Yeah. I mean, yesterday, if you remember, I got on the pre-call with you, and I said, oh, I hope you have a topic because, like, I've been slammed all day with not even a second to even think about a topic for the show. And today, I was kind of ready about 2 minutes before I normally call. And when I called you and you said, hey, I'm running late, and I said, should I come up with the topic? And you said, yes, please. I, like, sat down, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I have the luxury of 5 minutes to just sit here and say, hello, inner being. What's our topic for the day? And boom, it came. So that feels joyful to me to just, you know, have that level of synchronicity where I had the time to think of a subject. And I you know, it's all good.
Well, and you came up with a good topic, too. That's what's so cool when you're tied in, when you're in the vortex, when you're just, you know, on it, when you're in the flow. It comes easily. I mean, this is, we're talking about a topic idea here, but really it applies to anything. It just all starts to come really easily. So I can't say I'm really surprised you came up with a topic. I'm almost going to say, why did it take you 5 minutes?
Well, and you know what? I think the 5 minutes was more sort of convincing myself that would be the topic for the day, because I think the topic came in for me last night.
Oh, no kidding.
It's been what I'd been thinking about, and then when, you know, you and I hung up a few moments ago, and I said, okay, so what's the topic? The first thing in my mind was what we're going to talk about, and I went, really? Huh, do I have anything to say on that? Huh, I think I do. Well, if nothing else, I'll talk about what's going on in my world right now. That's what's on my mind.
And
I just had that little internal dialogue going back and forth, and then you called, and I went, here we go.
And what you came up with was a great idea. I mean, it fits in beautifully with the whole flow. It fits in with Law of Attraction in a big way because it goes on regularly. I don't think there's anybody on the face of the earth who doesn't have to deal with it one way or another. So you did it. Home run. Way to go.
So let me tell people what we're talking about.
That's probably a good idea. We want to clue the listeners in. We don't like clueless listeners. So, yes, let's tell them.
that first couple minutes is our pre-teaser.
That's right.
But now we'll really get into it. The question is really, why do we as humans need, require, or want other people's approval so badly?
And, again, that's something that I don't think there's anybody on the face of the earth who at least at one time or another, and in many cases throughout their lives, wrestle with that one question. It's just,
yeah,
you know, we seek, well, part of it is because when we come into the world, we are completely dependent on the big people. We have absolutely no ability to survive on our own for the first few years. And you know, so, of course, you want to have the approval of the person who's making sure that you stay alive.
Right, because I guess the expectation, and we don't, like, think of it like, oh, the expectation is, but I think this is just what how we kind of figure out life when we're, like, infants and we're pre-verbal,
right,
is if this caregiver is taking care of my needs, then perhaps I ought to do things that will somehow espouse them to want to continue to take care of my
needs. Oh, yeah, yeah. And the interesting thing about even a pre-verbal infant is they learn really, really quickly what buttons to push.
Yeah, like instantaneously.
Yeah, yeah. It's almost like they came with a manual. I'm sure there
isn't that funny? Because now we spend our whole life looking for the manual.
Yeah, right. I'm sure there
but
are plenty
really
of first-time mothers who are wondering where their manual was because they know the little kid got it, but they didn't get their copy.
That's so very true. Well, so the thing, and I'll just share it, like I was telling it to you yesterday post-show, but, you know, my desire is to be so transparent in my life that I don't have secrets, that I mean, I do know about me. I really don't have shame about pretty much anything, but I am kind of selective, or have been, about who I tell what to.
Mm-hmm.
One, because I think that's wise.
Sure.
Like if I have some big budding idea, I don't want to share it with somebody that I think is going to squash my thoughts.
Who would want to?
Or squash my enthusiasm.
Yeah.
So in that way, I know that my selectivity is just using common sense and wisdom. But in another way, which is where I was kind of at yesterday when you and I were chatting, is I was saying how I love our show. I want to tell more people about it. And yet, if I do it like through Facebook or through LinkedIn, I know that I have connections with people that, may frown upon what I'm doing or may judge what I'm doing, especially if they have contrary beliefs to the law of attraction.
Sure.
And it's like I just kind of didn't want to go down that road.
I don't blame
you. And I know when I was talking to you, I was just kind of all pent up, like, it's just frustrating. And you were being very kind and offering me some really wonderful suggestions. And as I thought about it afterwards, I was just trying to get greater clarity. And I loved one of the things that you said very specifically, which really helped me get clear, was if I put it out on Facebook that I'm doing a show on Law of Attraction, I know it's something I'm proud of and I believe in, or I wouldn't be here. But I know that there are some people who are my Facebook friends that would be in contradiction to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was blowing up in my mind like this picture of, you know, people confronting me on Facebook and getting into a Facebook feud. And I thought, you know what? That seems so silly because what you said is if they're not a match to it, they're not even going to see it.
Yeah, it's funny.
Well, that's true. And the only way they could even be a match to it that I'm thinking at this point is if I have some huge fear, which is why I'm wanting to dispel it, by the way.
Yeah, right.
if I have some huge fear about somebody wanting to confront me.
Right.
Only then would they be a match to the confrontation.
Yep.
So my thought was, well, let's find a way to disband and let go and release this fear energy so that couldn't even be possible, and then just let it ride.
Yeah.
Because I just want to be comfortable in who I am and what I do. And I think for a very long time I have sheltered myself from the things I've really wanted to do because I felt if I was so bold as to be the wholeness of who I am, there would be somebody who would want to judge me. And I didn't know if I wanted to deal with their judgment.
I don't blame you. Who wants to be judged? I mean, really, nobody does when it comes down to it.
No.
No.
But you know, since you and I talked, and since I've been thinking on this for a couple days, I'm like, really? That seems so piddly in my mind now. It seems so small by comparison to the big things that I have accomplished And, you know, I've taken on bullies in my life. And, you know, sometimes the bullies become kittens when you just don't engage.
Absolutely.
And sometimes they remain bullies and I don't engage.
Yeah. Both are valid. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I don't have anybody in my life who would physically harm me. So really, what's the problem?
Plus, you also have another thing, too. The other advantage, if you're using Facebook or LinkedIn, I know it's true of Facebook. I think it's true of LinkedIn. You can actually control who your message goes to. I mean, Facebook, you can actually target only these people are going to see the message. So if you're really worried about certain people, you can narrow it if you really want to.
Yeah.
You know? And that gives you a lot of control.
And I do believe that's possible. But I will tell you, my own personal goal for my life is to not even have that level of being sheltered.
Ooh, good for you. That's bold.
Go ahead.
I was just saying that's bold. That's a bold position to take.
I believe that's who I really am. And so therefore, I want who I really am inside to show up on the outside too.
Wow, very good.
I want to be bold.
Yeah, well, good. Go girl is all I can think of. That's great. Seriously. Because you're setting yourself, you're making yourself vulnerable when you do that. And that's not an easy thing to do. But you're doing it in a way that says, I'm also strong. And wow, that's a powerful combination right there.
I mean, I want my vulnerability to be out there in the open.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I redefined vulnerability recently.
Oh.
Gosh, now I can pull back the words. But it had something to do with, you know, for me, strength. And you said, you know, something like, well, that's really strong. Well, to me, to be vulnerable, to be truly vulnerable, which is where you let it all show, that to me is the ultimate strength.
Okay.
You know, because if I'm willing to let every vulnerability or every weakness or every whatever show up and know that it's okay, that's me saying to myself, it's okay. And when I think it's okay, there's not a whole lot somebody can do to shoot holes in it.
That's true. I mean, they could try, but it wouldn't even get through to you, really. I mean, it probably wouldn't even penetrate to your core. It would just kind of bounce off.
And that's who I want to be, and that's where I want to be. I'm not there yet, because we're all a work in process, and that's the thing that I'm working toward, is where I can say or do anything and just be myself. Because I know in my lifetime, when I've heard other people, whether on the radio, TV, or friends, or whomever I'm speaking with, when they really share what's really happening in the details and they don't hold anything back, I not only respect them at a greater level.
Sure.
But I learn something that so surpasses anything I could learn from someone else if they just talk in generalities.
Yeah.
And that's the stuff that really makes the difference in my growth ability.
Sure. Well, anybody's, I think. I suspect that there are possibly some exceptions to the rule, but for the most part, I think most people grow very strongly in those situations. So again, I say go. I mean, that's just that it's brave, but it's also powerful. And from an LOA perspective, you want to have that kind of vibration in order to, you know, keep your vortex going, keep yourself in that vortex, as they like to say, and in Abraham Hicks circles. That's what does it. When you're feeling that confident, that's confidence. That's what that is. That's confidence in yourself. It's believing in yourself and saying to the world, I'm not afraid to believe in myself. Wow. That's huge.
And ironically, I didn't want to say this on the air where other people would hear it because I knew then other people could judge it. And yet, I got to tell you, I'm so grateful that I've even spoken the words that I have so far, because it's beginning to dispel the mystery of where the fear was. It's
really?
Like the fear was the fear because it was in the hidden and it was the cloaked thing that it wasn't being talked about.
Oh.
And now as I'm talking about it, I'm like, what was the big deal? What was really the big deal?
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, I've had some pretty big bullies. By the way, I've been a bully.
Ooh.
Not in the sense of beating people up, but in trying to convince people of a point of view.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think most of
like,
us have done that.
One of the things I'll say is when I was in Bible college, because of the training that I was receiving and very strong dogmatic viewpoints, I was following what I had been taught. And so if I got into discussion, which eventually became debate, which eventually became an argument, with somebody who was not a Christian believer, I was doing my utmost to try to prove to them that my belief system was the belief system and one that they too should adopt.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what, Walt? I got to tell you, even though I was doing what I thought was the right thing to do, and according to all of the people I went to school with, both my peers as well as my teachers, would have probably praised me for my actions, and because I, you know, was pretty good with words, and so I could win an argument really well.
Right.
It didn't mean the other person changed their mind. It's just they realized they ran out of arguments, and I won in terms of who had better arguments. But I didn't feel good about it.
Yeah,
it's
I know
like
what you mean.
Even the expressing what I did didn't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to railroad someone didn't feel good.
Because what you're really talking about is a power struggle. And you won the power struggle, but you lost the war.
Yeah. And they didn't become believers anyway.
Right.
And so I ended up feeling really yucky about myself. And, you know, a number of years later, that thought just really haunted me for a long time. Like, why did I work so hard to push this on people? And I'm like, well, because my belief system said I must and it's appropriate. But eventually what I found was, you know what, I can't prove anything through words. People have to have their own experience.
I agree.
And I wasn't really allowing people to have their own experience. I was trying to tell them what their experience should be.
Yeah, that doesn't work too well, does it, when you think about it that
no.
way?
No.
No. And yet, how often do we try to do that? Yeah. I mean, I think we've all done that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. In fact, something you were saying earlier, well, there's two things. First, what you're talking about there, I think we all resonate with that. Everybody's done that at one time or another. But the other part of it is you were talking earlier on about how you feel very good about what you believe now and what we talk about on the show and so forth. And I feel very much the same way. I mean, it's been kind of a theme in my conversations with people I'm close to over the last few days, including co-hosts, my wife, family, and so forth. But studying this material, particularly from the Abraham Hicks point of view, is the first time in my life where I've actually read and studied something metaphysically oriented that vibrated within me, that resonated within me perfectly. Without any contradiction, without any, no, I don't agree with that kind of stuff. So to have found something like that, I have no problem trumpeting it out there. Now, what I won't do is I won't go into somebody's face and say, well, here's what I believe, and you should be believing the same thing, too. Now,
right.
That, evangelizing is not a good LOA tactic, in my opinion.
No.
There are much better things to do with your time. But, you know, for anybody who is open to it and wants to hear about it, I have no problem telling them, you know, what I believe and why I believe it. It's one of the reasons I'm enjoying the podcast so much. And it's also why I really admire what Jerry Hicks always used to say at the beginning of the Abraham Hicks podcasts and workshops and recordings and so forth, where he would say that this material is presented for people who are ready to receive it. I thought that just summarized it so beautifully, because that kind of person I want to talk to all day long.
That was not in my belief system growing up. I was never taught the concept of if you're ready to receive.
You will be ready to receive.
Yeah, it's more like, you know, hey, I'm the adult. Here's what I think. You must believe the following. And so it was just either I believe it or I don't, and I live the consequences of it.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
You know, I was a good little girl, and I was a straight-A student, so I was very compliant to things that would get me positive results. So I'm sure that's why I became an incredible people pleaser. I was seeking people's approval all the time in my life because I just thought that's the way you live. That's how you get the better things in life. That's how doors open up to you, because if people approve of you, they open their door to you.
That's true.
If they disapprove of you, they slam the door in your face. And
often
I didn't
painfully.
Like that.
No, that part's not fun, no. So you always want to be on the approval side of the ledger.
And when I think about it from a law of attraction perspective, and you know, which is all about matching who you are, and bringing people who are like yourself, you know, it's like that's really the side of the equation I want to be on. And I can understand when I think into that, there isn't a need for trying to gain or win people's approval for the sake of getting things, because law of attraction is the mechanism that will bring to you and coordinate the things that you desire, and it, you don't have to like work so hard to control how it's going to happen or who something could come through.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Even as I'm talking, I'm like, so how much have I allowed that to be the case in my life versus how much I've just thought it or said it?
So you're saying you're not sure? I'm not quite sure what your thought is.
Well, it's kind of it's not quite a rhetorical question I'm asking of myself, but it's kind of bringing to mind that I haven't been as congruent with my thinking of law of attraction will bring me every coordinating component that is necessary for me to have all that I desire if I just get out of the way.
Oh, I see.
And how I know I've been in contrast or contrary to that is because I've been trying to control the circumstances by who's going to approve of me.
Hmm, yeah.
Like, okay, let's say I just have a thought, well, I need my boss's approval for me to get a promotion, therefore I better do things that will make him like me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know a person on the planet who works for any job or has a boss that hasn't had that thought.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, if they don't have that thought, they probably don't want to stay in the job in the first place.
I mean, we all want the approval of our boss.
Yeah.
Because we believe that our boss makes or breaks our career at that company.
Which is interesting in light of what you were saying, because it's really a test to find out just how strongly we individually believe in what we say we believe in. Believe in the law
of
attraction.
That was the point I was trying to make, and you just said it better. Way better.
That's why we're a team.
Yeah. It's like, do I really believe what I believe?
Mm-hmm.
Because am I willing to walk the talk?
Well, I have the same thing just with the podcast. I mean, we've been having tremendous numbers over the last 6-7 months or so with listenership for the podcast. I don't know if I mentioned it on the show yesterday. I think I told you after the show. But we exceeded the 12,000 play mark on Saturday. Today we're exceeding the 13,000 play mark. It's going to happen sometime later today.
Yeah. And that's just, what, 4 days? Five days?
Yeah. That's...
No, you did talk a lot about our stats yesterday.
Did I do it on the show?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I did. Okay. Well,
I know you have so many shows, and you have on-air and off-air.
I can't keep track. It's crazy.
I'm sure it's hard to keep track.
My brain is saying, who am I talking to? Yeah. No, not really. But, I was looking at those numbers further, and one of the things that really jumped out at me, like last month we had over 4,000 downloads. Since November 2016, we've had now 13,000 by the end of today. So that means roughly 33% of the downloads happened last month.
Wow.
Now, that should
be
enough.
That's pretty darn exciting.
It is exciting. And that should be enough to make me say, yes, this whole thing is working. Now, do I have doubts? Yes, I still have doubts. I'm still battling the doubt machine. It's like, why do I have doubts? I mean, it is just avalanching on us. It is just coming in like crazy. And I'm saying to myself, will it happen again next month? Wait a minute. Wake up, Walt. It's happening. This is where I need my wife to do what she used to do like 10 years ago when I was in a really bad depressed state. She would periodically come over, get on top of me, grab me by the lapel and say, snap out of it. And that's what I would do every time. I'd laugh whenever she did that. But sometimes you just kind of need somebody to grab you by the lapel and say, snap out of it, because you got all this stuff going on. How can you not believe in it? It's happening. It's happening now. And yet we got the past programming. The past programming, I know, is why I still get those lingering, niggling doubts every once in a while. And I have to remind myself of what the good news is, what the good stuff that is happening. And when I do, of course, I feel better, but I still have the moments.
Well, and I will tell you, because you're the one who's sitting behind the dashboard, you're the one who has the analytics in front of you, you're the one who's, like, tracking it and reporting it back to all the co-hosts and to our listeners. And so you're like in it.
Yeah.
And I do know for myself that when I, because I, like I've said before, I'm a spreadsheet queen. And when I'm tracking something on a spreadsheet, if I'm tracking it minute by minute, it moves very slow. If I track it day by day, it's still slow.
Mm-hmm.
But if I track it week by week, it's not as slow.
No.
And like what I do with my, you know, heaven forbid anybody who's going to judge me, go ahead, I can handle it. You know, things like my investments, you know, 401k, you know, it's broken up into all sorts of different mutual funds. I might only check that once a year.
That's all right.
And I look at it after a year and I go, wow, this has really grown. This is exciting.
This is good.
But if I look at it like the day after I checked it, it didn't even move. It might have even gone down.
Yeah, how dare it?
I know, and I've done that before where I like start to monitor it every day, and then I'm like, oh, my God, it's going down, it's going down. Should I move this mutual fund to another one, and which one do I move it to? And I start going into a frenzy.
Yeah.
And so I've had to go inside, get quiet, be present, ask my inner being, you know, like, is now a good time to check my investments? And I got to tell you, lots of times I get no. And then every now and then I get inspired, like, yes, today is the day.
Hmm.
And then on that day, I'll see where I'm at, and I'll get really wonderful guidance to move things or to leave them where they are.
Mm-hmm.
But on the days I'm not inspired and the days I follow the guidance of, no, don't look at it, those are probably the days when things look dismal, and I'm glad I'm not looking at it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because that's the one thing you, we tend to do, but you don't want to do it on that kind of day because you're in the worst possible place to do it.
Exactly. Well, so I'm going to bring this back around to you looking at the stats. I like being the person you report the stats to and not the one who's looking at them, which is ironic for me because I love numbers and I love analytics.
Mm-hmm.
But I recognize that I am probably in a better place to support our show and our listenership in growth by not knowing the details. Because then it allows me to stay in the place that I am and continue to expand where I am, which is the vision that I have for why we do what we do is getting bigger and bigger.
Mm.
It's like I love knowing we're making an impact. It does not bother me if we have 3 live listeners or 100 live listeners because I would still want to do this because it's the ones that listen to the playback. That's where our numbers keep growing.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what's so wonderful about the technology we have today in 2018.
Right.
Is that it's not like you have to be live for every single broadcast in order for you to get the wisdom or the inspiration or the encouragement that comes from what we're talking about.
Right.
People can do it at their own convenience. I mean, I do that in my life. I love listening to my podcast and other people's podcasts and your other podcasts and all of the podcasts. I listen to all sorts of things that enlighten me and make me feel good, but I get to do it at my own time. And there are days that I do binge podcasting where I'll go from one podcast to another to another to another, and after I've listened to about 8 or 9, I'm like, wow, I feel satisfied and full.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You know, but then I might not have the time to do it again for another week.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, anyway, back to my point. It's like I love being on the side of the equation where I can talk about our growth. I can spin it energetically. I can bask in the joy of my imagination. And I think that's very possible because I'm not sitting behind the dashboard where you are.
Well, plus, I think I have to make sure that I do the same thing that you do with your investments. But I have to do it where the analytics are concerned because I can drive myself crazy with analytics. And I know that. So I actually have to put them away and just not look at them for, you know, a month at a time. Or maybe I'll cheat and look at like 2 weeks in or something like that just to see how we're doing. You know, I actually did that today. Even though I gave you the numbers yesterday, I looked today and found that we were even exceeding last month's pace, so that made me feel good. But it could have been the other way around, and then I could have had myself into a little negative spiral just because I couldn't take my eyes off it. I had to go look. What I was going to finish that up with is when I leave it alone, then I'm in the same space that you're in with your investments because I don't have to put myself in the place of doing like what I did when I first looked at the analytics from last month the other day, because I saw that we had like a 52-53% increase in plays, and I was saying yes, yes, yes. And then as soon as I saw that, my eye went right over to the left-hand column that showed that the unique number of listeners had only increased 9%. Now, which one am I focusing on the most? I should be focusing on the 53%, but I promise you, I was looking at 9% and saying, why isn't that higher? That should be higher. And you just drive yourself crazy with stuff like that. There's no need for it.
Here's an idea. Let's apply the quote that you gave to me about Jerry Hicks to that.
Okay.
Which is, you quote it back to me because you do it better. Jerry says at the beginning of every CD.
Yeah, at the beginning of every workshop, he says something like, this material is presented for people who are ready to receive it.
And so is our show.
That is true.
It's being presented for those who are ready to receive it.
Yep.
And, you know, it doesn't matter if they're unique listeners or repeat listeners, having somebody receive value is really about them and not about us. It's about their receptivity.
Well, plus, too, if I look at that same number that I was, you know, getting all worked, bent out of shape about, 9%, only a 9% increase. I mean, there are businesses that would die for a 9% increase in business.
Exactly.
But here I am complaining because it's only a 9% increase over month over month. And if I look at year over year, we're talking like about a 10,000% increase. So here I am getting upset because 1 month it was only 9%. Come on.
And, you know, you know just like I do, when it comes to analytics, you can make numbers tell any story.
Absolutely.
You want them to.
Yeah. To me, interesting thing with numbers is what's the story that they're just blatantly telling you? And when you see it from that perspective, and just kind of like the faraway perspective, what are they telling you? Right now they're telling us, great, everything's going beautifully. So the smart thing to do is just go with that. You don't have to play with numbers. You just say, there it is. It's there. It's done.
Well, what's funny is for a while I was thinking, huh, have we like jumped off topic? And I went, oh my God, we're exactly on topic.
We are.
Because we're wanting people to approve
of
what we're doing.
Yeah, sure.
So let's go back to the question. What is it about others' approvals that we need, want, and require so badly? It's like, why do we require that, something outside of ourselves, versus giving it to ourselves from within?
Well, another word for that would be validation. And validation is another way of saying outside confirmation that what you're doing is as good as you think it is. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah. And I've played with this idea for a long time. And here's the flip side. I met somebody in a class years ago, and she was not someone that I particularly liked.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't dislike her, mm-hmm. but she wasn't someone I really felt like I was much of a match to.
Okay.
But there was a conversation that we had that really, really got my curiosity, because she kept these were the days that it was before the internet and internet dating. It was the classified ad kind of dating.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember those.
Oh, I do remember, yes.
Okay, and so she was talking about how, and she was newly divorced, and she was saying how she went out like 3 to 4 times a week on dates. And I was like, how on earth do you do that? Now, at the time, I was newly married, but I was not a person who had been a big dater at all.
Right.
I was more of a serial monogamous?
Mm-hmm.
Am I saying that right?
Yep.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I was newly married, but I was still just really curious because I never had like a ton of dates. I mean, I knew I was very selective, but I wanted to know more about how she did this.
Mm-hmm.
And so one day, you know, like during the class, we'd get an hour break. And so I specifically said, hey, can I take you to lunch? And she said, sure, because I wanted to pick her brain. And so I did, and I said, you know, I'm going to call her Susie. Susie, I'm just enamored by you saying that you, like, have 3, 4, 5 dates a week. You know, can I ask you about that? She said, sure. And I said, well, so are they dinner dates? Are they what? And she goes, no, they're mostly coffee dates. And I said, okay, well, how do you get these dates? And she told me what she wrote in her classified ad, and she had words like voluptuous and, you know, just other really good adjectives.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, so she's doing some good marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they talk on the phone. This is before texting. They talk on the phone. They make the date. She said, I'm pretty upbeat when we're talking. And, you know, I tell them I look forward to meeting them. And so she said, then we go out and we meet and we have a lovely time. And I said, well, but the fact that you're doing multiple dates, I'm curious, do you get more than one date with the same guy? Just not very often.
Mm-hmm.
I went, okay, well, that's an interesting piece of data.
Yep.
She's able to attract them, but she doesn't keep them.
Mm-hmm.
So I went, okay, that's interesting. And then I went, okay, I'm going to go down another road. Because the course I was at was a personal development course, so it seemed appropriate to ask these questions. And I said, well, what do you believe about yourself? Or what have people told you about you? And she said, oh, well, I know I'm very attractive. I know I'm a very interesting conversationalist.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at that point, everything changed in my world. That was the information I needed to hear. And I'll tell you why in a moment.
Okay.
And then I said, well, how did you come to believe that you were attractive and an interesting conversationalist? She said, oh, well, since the time I was small, my mother always told me how attractive I was. I was very beautiful.
Okay.
And I was like, wow. And I said, really? So since, oh, I can't even remember when she wasn't saying that to me.
Hmm.
I went, Okay, now I'll tell you why I found that so fascinating. Because in my point of view, she was short, stout, not attractive, and as boring and dry as a conversationalist as any human I've ever talked to.
Well, you did say that she wasn't somebody that you would normally be friends with, so that's not terribly surprising, but it's very funny.
Well, and so what I took from that conversation, that was it was so worth the purchase of that lunch, because I learned something I've taken with me forever, which is it doesn't really matter what, quote, the objective truth is. If you believe it, that's what you vibrate to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you another story that confirms that in a huge way.
Okay.
There was a guy I knew who, I'll call him John. John, there's no other way to describe him. He was a ladies' man. And he was an unabashed ladies' man. And he had confidence oozing out of his pores. Now, John was not a bad person in any way. Outside of relationships anyway. I'm not sure what he was like in relationships, but outside of relationships, he wasn't a bad person. He had kind of a rough edge to him, and his confidence would sometimes come across as arrogance. But, you know, for the most part, he was a decent human being. But the thing that amazed me was what happened when he was out in public and kind of turning the confidence on. I can't even say, I was going to say turn the charm on, but he wasn't turning the charm on. And I'll tell you why in a moment. He just turned the confidence on. Because I asked him, you know, how often do you go out with women? And it was the same kind of answer. It was almost daily. And let me tell you, it was more than coffee dates. So it gives you an idea. And at first I didn't believe him. But then I went out with him to, I think it was a bar. I can't remember if it was a bar or a coffee house or what. It doesn't really matter, because from the moment we went into the facility, it was like he turned a switch on. You could see that he was like upping his vibration in LOA terms. At the time, I didn't know what to call it, but it was like he was up. You know, he was more up than normal. And he didn't really do anything different. He didn't go, you know, he wasn't going and hitting on people or anything like that. He and I just sat down and we were ordering, but he was on this higher level. And do you know, while we were there, not one, not two, but three different women from different parts of the room came over and handed him pieces of paper that were folded up. Three different women.
I thought that only happened in movies.
It doesn't only happen in movies. And I was floored. I was absolutely floored. But now that I understand the law of attraction, I know exactly how he did it. He simply believed it. He believed it was going to happen. And the really interesting part about that, Wendy, as confident as he was about attracting women and sleeping with women, he had absolutely no confidence at all about building a relationship with women. And it proved out because I ended up being best man at his wedding for a marriage that lasted 6 months.
Wow.
And then he got married after that again. Somebody else was his best man that time. I wasn't going to do it again. And that one lasted 7 months. He could not maintain a working relationship because he didn't know how to do that part. He was really bad at that part.
Well, in a similar fashion, the Susie person that I was referring to, like I said, newly divorced, but when she talked about relationship, all she could talk about was how horrible her husband was and how badly he treated her and how that was just, bleh. But it's like when it came to attraction, she had no problem attracting someone.
Mm-hmm.
She just could, like, kind of like the guy you're talking about, just the relationship part didn't work. So it's like there was a solid focus energetically on being able to attract someone and feeling good about the fact that she could. But she had a really very contradictory energy when it came to actually fulfilling a relationship.
Exactly.
And or having somebody be interested enough to hang around.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But, you know, that story had just, it really permeated my thoughts for so many years because I'd look in the mirror of myself and I never liked what I saw. Now, it didn't help. Mom, if you're listening, thank you, Mom. But it didn't help that my mother always said she thought she was ugly. And she would never leave the house without makeup. And she trained me to never, she would say, you never want to leave the house without makeup because a man is not going to be interested unless you look pretty.
Oh, that's sad.
Well, you know, I think I don't think I'm the only one who's ever had that happen.
Probably not, no. But still, it's sad.
And so, looking in the mirror has been a real hard time for me because I have an image in my head of what I think I ought to look like or what I want to look like.
Yeah.
And then I look in the mirror and go, ooh, what's up? But when I think about this friend Susie and how it didn't matter what, and I want to say the objective realities because I'm objective in my viewpoint of what she looked like.
Mm-hmm.
Her subjective viewpoint was that she was attractive and beautiful.
Right.
And an interesting conversationalist. And you know what? Who am I to take that away from her? I wished we all were able to flatter ourselves with true believing, regardless what we look and sound like.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, if we have a wonderful positive self-image, it will make what we look like even more beautiful.
Well, the good news is we do know that that's possible. Because that's
Absolutely.
What we've learned from Law of Attraction teaching. I mean, the
only
difficulty, and I hesitate to call it a difficulty, the only stumbling block, I don't know what else to call it, is us putting it into practice, implementing it. Because we know the theory. We know how the theory works. We know that the theory does work. It's just a question of putting it into practice. And that can take some time. It can take some effort. It can take some stumbling. It can take some making mistakes. But if we are willing to keep going, even in the face of all of our mistakes, even in the face of all our backward movement and so forth, just keep going, keep going, keep going, keep trying, we eventually learn how to do it. And I know that for a fact because that's how I got into a positive frame of mind. I got here by just not giving up, even though when I first started, a positive frame of mind was about as far away from me as Australia is from Alaska. I mean, really, we were not in the same neighborhood. But, and I didn't know where the neighborhood was. I didn't even know which direction it was. But I knew I wanted to be there. And so I just kept...
And that's all that it takes.
Yeah.
Is the knowing you want to be there, that sets the trajectory.
And the persistence. You're just sticking with trying it and stumbling and screwing up and trying and, you know, listening and reading and trying some more. And then eventually you start piecing it together. you start piecing together, you know, what that frame of mind is like and what it feels like. And you start doing the exercises that people recommend, and, you know, the daily routines, and, you know, the affirmations and the vision boards and whatever else that people are recommending to you. You try them, and this one works, this one doesn't work, that doesn't work, that doesn't work, this one worked. You know, you just keep sorting and sorting and sorting and trying to apply them in your own life. And all of a sudden, one day, you notice that you actually made progress. Over, not yesterday, but over a period of time, you've made some progress. And like, oh, yeah. I'm getting there. And so you keep going. And over time, you notice you've made some more progress. Sometimes it happens that you don't notice the progress yourself, but somebody close to you points out, you know, you've made a lot of progress. Did you know that? Oh, yeah, I guess I have made a lot of progress. That's how you get there.
Well, there was a movie called Embrace. That was put out kind of on I don't want to say private channel, but it was a not in big movie theater kind of thing. It was like you could privately sponsor it, you know?
Right.
And I've seen the movie a couple times, and I purchased the DVD and had some friends over to watch it. And it's really all about women and their self-esteem in terms of their appearance and how the media has so distorted what women think about themselves.
Oh, yeah.
And just to let you know, I don't have a soapbox on this one. I'm just saying that movie really took what I was already doing and already moving in the direction of wanting to no longer disapprove of my appearance. And it just really started making inroads. And, you know, there was one bulimic on that movie that, bless her heart, I mean, she was so thin. I mean, she was like 89 pounds.
Ooh, wow.
And all you saw was bones. I mean, typical anorexic.
Right.
And when she would look in the mirror, and she said to the interviewer, "When I look in the mirror, I just see this really, really fat woman."
Wow.
And see, the story of Susie pops up in my head when I see that.
Yeah.
You know, any time I go, you know what? It's not what is really in the mirror. It's what we have inside our internal mind in terms
That's
of our
right.
own interpretation. And when we can't approve of what we look like, or we can't approve of ourselves in any specific area of our life, we then become the perfect magnet and match for things that will validate that we're not approved of outside of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so if I'm feeling really ugly or not attractive to men or women or anybody, then when I go about in the public, I don't have somebody slipping their phone number to me.
Yeah, right.
Because I'm not a match for that.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't look at me and smile, you know, to say, wow, you're such a radiant individual, and I love to gaze upon you. Because if I'm feeling ugly, then if what I do get are people who are kind of not very pretty looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's who's the match for me.
Right.
And so this is an area I truly desperately wanted to change, because I'm like, this doesn't match the essence of who I am. Just doesn't. And so I'm not going to tell you all the details that have happened in my life. However, I will tell you something that happened recently that is blowing my mind.
Mm.
I think I told you right around Thanksgiving time, my niece, who's a photographer, had come to spend a couple days with me.
Right.
And we did a photo shoot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she showed me, you know, in her little mini digital viewer of her camera what the pictures were looking like. So we could kind of get an idea, is she taking pictures like what I'm looking for?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she took about 700 pictures. She's one
Whoa.
Of those photographers. Just snap, 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 snap.
Yeah.
And, you know, we went to different places. We were in a park because she does lifestyle photos.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were in a park and moved to different locations. And she took a gazillion, like I said, 700 pictures of me.
Right.
And so she went through them all and found about 45 that she felt really captured who I am. And mm-hmm. she did her little touch-ups, you know, to take any blemishes away, which I love that about what she did. It wasn't photoshopping it to, like, make me look like I wasn't, you know.
Right.
And then she sent them to me, and I got to tell you, Walt, I had the hardest time looking at these pictures because I'm like, I don't like anything.
Mm-hmm.
She took 700 pictures, and this is the best of what she could get.
Yeah.
This doesn't say very much for me because I don't like any of them.
Mm.
Well, side note, something I had learned about myself a while ago is I don't like any picture of myself if it's in the moment.
Really?
But I can look back 2 years at a picture I took 2 years ago, and I'll go, well, it looked okay.
Mm-hmm.
I could find acceptableness as long as the picture was 2 years old or older.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, I had a business partner who's since transitioned, but he would say to me, he said, Wendy, you never take a bad picture. You are one of the most photogenic people I have ever known. I thought he was crazy. Because I absolutely could not relate to what he was saying.
Yeah, it didn't match what you'd been telling yourself.
Yeah, it was like, whoa. So now how this story with my niece's photography unfolds is, you know, you asked for a picture from me, and I've put you off and put you off and put you off. I kept saying, it's almost here, it's almost here. Well, it's been 5 weeks. I finally gave it to you this weekend.
Right.
But because I have stared at these pictures to the point where I'd bring two up, I have a 24-inch screen, I'd bring two up and I'd look at them side by side, and there was probably like a second between the clicks, you know, and I'm looking at which one do I like better. And, oh, my God, talk about a fine-tooth comb. I was scrutinizing myself, scrutinizing my cheeks, my eyes, my smile, my teeth, my hair, my jewelry, the way my clothes sat. Mm. Like, is that flattering? Is that not flattering? Oh, my God. And, yes, I'd love details, but this was making me nuts. And the reason, Walt, it took me so long to get a picture to you is because I put myself through that every weekend since you asked.
Oh.
And I was scrutinizing myself because I couldn't find a picture that I was willing to have on display to reflect who I am.
Hmm. Wow.
But I'm not going to tell a story to end in a bad place, right?
No, I don't think you would, but still.
If you know anything about me, all my stories are going to end in a positive way.
I have no doubt.
Tell the story.
That's right. Yes.
So by the time I came up with the picture that I sent you that you have now, you know, blended with yourself and now it represents the shows that you and I do together.
Yep.
I started to go, wow, isn't that interesting about me? I never noticed that about my cheeks.
Yeah.
I never noticed. I'm like, I have a slightly crooked smile. I don't think I ever noticed that. And then I did the thing on the screen where you rotate.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, my God, I had no idea how different my left and my right are. Because when you flip it, that doesn't even look like me. And I was just like in a whole different world looking at myself in a very different way. And as I went through all these gyrations, you know what came out of it?
What's that?
Oh, my gosh. I am beautiful.
Ah.
How come I never saw this before? Look at the glint in my eyes. Look at the expression that comes through.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. If I saw this on somebody else's picture, I'd be saying, Wendy, you know, let's call it, you know, Jennifer, it's like you radiate through this photograph. You're beautiful. And I went, I'm really liking myself now. So it was a big, big deal when I finally picked a picture and I hit send and I sent it to you. But the rest of the day, I started looking in the mirror. And I'm like, I look like the same woman that I saw in those photographs.
Mm.
I'm not wearing the same blouse, but it's like, look how pretty you are.
Uh-huh.
Look at how you flip your hair and how cool that looks. Look what happens when you put your hair up. Now you look very different.
Mm-hmm.
You look more sophisticated. You have a very different look. But I'm just blown away that all of these years that I have loathed what I look like, and I have hidden it from many people. Nobody really knew that I was so displeased with what I looked like.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm like, where have I been hiding all this time? Where have I been hiding? Because I'm quite beautiful.
Well, that's a heck of a change.
And I will tell you, it's a big deal for me to say it versus someone else to say it to me.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Especially if you've been telling yourself the other message for so long, because now you're hearing yourself deliver a diametrically 180-degree different message. That's big.
I mean, I remember in the fourth grade, going to school every day, and the principal, it was one grade, okay, per classroom. It was a brand-new school, so it was a very small school, and the principal would greet us as we walked in the door, and he would, with two hands, grab my cheeks and just, like, pinch them and go, oh, look at those cheeks. They're so cute. I hated him for that.
Mm.
Be- he did it every day.
Yep.
It made me feel like all the attention was on me. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what other people were thinking of me.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt if I saw the principal do it to someone else, I'd be like, ooh, why is she getting special attention?
Uh-huh.
So I didn't like it. Needless to say, all of my life as an adult, people said, oh my gosh, Wendy, you have such beautiful cheekbones. I'd kill to have those cheekbones. Me? I've loathed those cheekbones because Mr. Minkoff, bless his heart, pinched the life out of them and made me feel stupid.
Or more precisely, so, you let yourself feel stupid as a result.
Exactly. But, yeah. You know, when you're 8 years old, you don't know
that. That's a hard distinction for an 8-year old, no doubt about it.
So I'm kind of like almost flabbergasted. I threw out this topic today. I'm kind of going down my own personal memory lane of my own internal struggle with my own approval of my appearance. But I got to tell you, it feels really good to talk about because I feel free from it now.
Well, that's good. I also want to throw something in, and it certainly applies to you, and it actually applies to really anyone. But since you were talking in terms of women, I'll apply it to women. Any woman who is concerned about her appearance, and I guess I could pretty much assume that's almost all, and perhaps even concerned to the nth degree, I would like to tell you one thing that is true for me, and I think it's true for most men. The most attractive thing that a woman can do to positively alter her experience, or her appearance rather, is to smile, and to smile really big. Doesn't matter what you look like. You smile really big, you become 10 times more beautiful. And the reason for that is your essence comes through. And now all of a sudden, you talked about the media and so forth, you know, telling women all these things about how, you know, they need to look and so forth. That all gets bypassed. Because any man worth his salt sees the smile, sees past everything else, and sees right through to who you really are. And so we get right past all the appearance stuff. So you want to be beautiful? Smile. Smiling is the most beautiful thing that a woman can do.
That's a beautiful message. Thank you, Walt.
And it's true. I'm not making that up. I'm saying, literally, when I was dating, the first thing I always looked for is the smile. And if it wasn't there, I wasn't interested. I'm serious. I wanted the smile.
Women of the world. This is your admonishment. Yeah. Smile, smile, smile.
Well, not an admonishment, it's an encouragement. I want people to feel encouraged by it. Smiling is not only good for you, it's good for getting that guy you're looking for. It works. Trust me, it really does work. No matter what other blemish you feel like you have, smiling will overcome it. I promise it's true. So we've used up all about a minute and a half. We have done the whole show on this. But I don't want to let it all pass without reminding everybody, if you have not yet subscribed to the podcast and you're enjoying this, and I think you probably are because you're still listening, we know that you are because we see that everybody is continuing to listen. We get huge numbers of people who just listen right through. So please subscribe if you have not yet subscribed. It's easy to do. Just go to loatoday.net. Subscribe buttons are all over the place. Or on your iPhone, you can go to the iTunes store or to your podcast software, either one. Do a search on LOA Today, or on your Android phone, you can go to Google Play and do a search on LOA Today. So please do that. And Wendy, for somebody who needs a little more personal coaching and encouragement, perhaps even with their appearance, how do they reach you?
Look me up at wendydillard.com and give me a call. Call me on the phone. I'm really approachable. I work from home. It's easy to connect with me. Or if you're a little more shy, go ahead and send an email. I'll respond, I promise.
And I can promise she is approachable because I do a show with her every day, and she's definitely approachable. Wendy, it's been a pleasure as usual.
It has been fun. And thank you, everybody, for indulging me while I worked on my own stuff. I hope you got as much out of it as I did.
And I hope you all join us next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye now.